These are difficult times in our country. There are cultural wars going on right now. I thought about the message this week, and man, I started one way, went another way, went. I was all over the place this week with this message. Finally came to this conclusion, and I guess this is the conclusion where I'm at, is I want this country back. That's exactly the words that came to me this week. I want this country back. Not that we have ever been a perfect nation, because we haven't. But when I think about just in the, I'm 53 years old, but just in the years that I have lived, I've seen this country go a different direction. And I want us to return to the roots that made us strong and the values that were the fruit of those roots. Because you see, that's the key. The values that we hold as a nation, that's what comes out in what we see in society. It seems like we've forgotten many of the things that made us great. Ronald Reagan once said the most terrifying 9 words for any American were these: I'm from the government, and I'm here to help. You know, I think through the years, what we've been helped to is not exactly what we have wanted, nor what we've needed. It seems to me these days, unless you're a member of the LGBT community or Planned Parenthood, then the mission of our government seems to be seek and destroy rather than seek and help. That's my opinion. But I think it's bared up in what we see in the news. Ed Stetzer, executive director of Lifeway Research, who's the biblical, you know, they write most of the stuff for Southern Baptists, is an evangelical consulting firm in Nashville, told the Associated Press, nobody would have guessed the pace of change. That's why so many people are yelling, we have to take our country back. I don't know about you, but I'm one of those. I'm frustrated at the direction of our nation. At times I find myself angry. I have to watch myself when I preach in the pulpit that I don't just flat get mad, because the things I see are not the values that our forefathers, you know, when they created this land, there's nothing, we're nothing like what they intended us to be, and we have government trying to rewrite history and tell us, oh, this is the way it was always meant to be. Let me tell you, that's a bunch of bull. That's all that is. One of the problems in our government is becoming more forceful in the areas of education, faith-based organizations, including the church. The church is moving more and more in conflict with culture and the agendas that have been handed down to us by the government. We've been labeled intolerant due to this conflict. I look back through Scripture this week in Judges chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. It says, then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshiped various gods and the people around them. You know, that path doesn't prosper a nation. I think that's the path that we are on right now. Verse 14 says, the anger of the Lord burned against Israel. He gave them into the hands of plunderers who plundered them. He sold them into the hands of the enemies around them so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Wherever they went, the hand of the Lord was against them. You know, it happened to Israel. We are not Israel, but we are Christian. You know, our nation was formed to be a Christian nation. We are guided by the principles that God gave to Israel. We are guided because we are the church. We are Christians. Proverbs 14:34 reminds us, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. And I'm going to tell you, our forefathers believed that. Our forefathers believed that righteousness exalts a nation and sin is a disgrace to any people. Examples, if you're out there, say, tell me, how do you know that? That was 200 years. Let me tell you some of the writings that some of these people put in. John Quincy Adams, in the chain of human events, the birthday of a nation is indissolubly linked with the birthday of the Savior. The Declaration of Independence laid the cornerstone of human government upon the first precepts of Christianity. John Quincy Adams says the Declaration of Independence is based upon the precepts of Christianity. Then Congress in 1854 said, the great, vital, and conservative element in our system is the belief of our people in the pure doctrines and divine truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That came from the Journal of the House of Representatives of the United States of America. Congress said, that these truths come from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Man, we're trying to erase Jesus from everything has to do with government these days. The original people who wrote our Constitution, the Congress in the early days, says Jesus Christ is the reason that we have a government and a nation. John Hancock, let's get right down, the signer of the Declaration of Independence, the one who wrote his name so that the king could see it. President of Congress, Governor of Massachusetts, says he called on the people to pray that all nations may bow in the scepter of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and that the whole earth be filled with his glory. George Washington, we're all familiar with him, first president of the United States, chief of the Continental Army. He said, "You do well to learn our arts and our ways of life, and above all, the religion of Jesus Christ. This will make you a greater and happier people." Sounds like to me, they felt like the United States ought to be a Christian nation. The guy that's up there now saying we're not a Christian nation doesn't have a lick of sense, or he's never read a history book. One of the two. Because there is no in-between. If you read history, you see we were meant to be a Christian nation. If you close your eyes and try to rewrite it and say what other people repeated enough, you begin to believe it. Contemporary critics often assert that America is not a Christian nation, and they refrain from defining what the term Christian nation means. Let me tell you, a Christian nation is not one in which all the citizens are Christians. That will never happen, never will. Or the laws require everyone to adhere to Christian theology, because they don't. Or even that all the leaders are Christian. That doesn't make a Christian nation. But rather, as Supreme Court Justice David Brewer, who lived from 1837 to 1910, explained, America was one of the nations in the world most justly called a Christian nation, because Christianity has so largely shaped and molded it. That's why we are a Christian nation, because we were founded upon Christian principles by believers who felt that Christianity was the foundation of all that a nation should be. That's why we are a Christian nation. And this morning, I want that country back. I want that belief in our country that we were formed, intended to be messengers of the gospel. The freedom that we've been given, the freedom that we celebrate, is so that we can share the gospel with the rest of the world. Christianity, without a doubt, is what shaped America. It's what's made us the great global force that we have become. It is what has made us the greatest nation in the history of the earth. There is no doubt about that, that we have lived in a time when we have been the greatest nation in the history of this planet. Justice Earl Warren, who died in 1974, agreed with his predecessors on the Supreme Court. He said, "I believe our entire Bill of Rights came into being because of the knowledge of the Bible and the belief that our forefathers had in it. Freedom of belief, assembly, dignity of the individual, sanctity of the home, equal justice under the law. I like to believe that we are living today in the spirit of the Christian religion. I also like to believe that as long as we do, no great harm will come to our country." That was one of the leaders in our country not many years ago, 40 years ago. All of these men agreed with Scripture that says righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a disgrace to any people. Now, I'm going to tell you what got me stirring on this message this week is the past week, the Supreme Court, by way of the most important election, you know, just to think about this first. The election coming up, the most important thing we'll be voting on is not a president. The most important thing that we'll be voting on are Supreme Court justices. Because for the next 40 years, for the lives of the rest of the time you're on this planet, these guys will write the laws of America. Your children will grow up with the laws they write. That's how important this particular election is. These guys will decide the direction of our country for a generation. And they don't have any checks or balances. They're there for a lifetime. And this past week, these guys in a 5-3 vote made the most significant decision on abortion in 2 decades when they threw out the Texas lawmakers' decision to put limits on abortion, restrictions on clinics related to abortion. They threw it out. Justice Clarence Thomas, in his dissent, accused the court of eroding the Constitution. He said the court has simultaneously transformed judicially created rights, like the rights to abortion, into constitutional rights. What he was saying is, we don't have any reason or right to be even ruling on this. It's not a constitutional issue. Abortion is never mentioned in the Constitution. It's not a constitutional issue. It should have never been voted on by the people in the first place. Roe v. Wade should have been thrown out years ago. It's wrong. While disfavoring many of the rights actually named in the Constitution. You know, what we've got is we've got a government now that not only is making laws of the land, but they are deciding in their mind right and wrong, spiritual right and wrongs. What must we do to take our country back? Before anything else, then we've got to pray. The restoration of America is a God-sized task. I'm telling you now, there's times when I read the news, and I'm not going to lie, I read the news and I go, golly, cannot believe how far we've gone. I don't know if you ever say that. I say that regularly these days. Cannot believe it. I said that this week when I saw that decision. I can't believe. Because when you read the reasoning behind it, it just makes you shake your head. Doctors have to be within 30 minutes of the hospital, or it places undue pressure upon those. You know, it's ridiculous. Here's what Scripture says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. You know, that was written to the nation coming out of exile. It wasn't written to America. It was written to Israel coming out of exile. But there's things about that. There are principles that I think relate to us as Christians today. It all starts with recognizing our need to go before God. If we want to be a godly nation, we've got to be governed by godly principles. Then we need the people of that nation turning to God in prayer, saying, God, we can't figure this out. Our hope is in this next election is not Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. I'm telling you now, neither one are going to do the job. Neither one are going to do the job of turning our country around. They're not. They're incapable of it. Because, you see, they are politicians, and this is a spiritual issue. They can't unless they call our nation to turn to God. Turning to the Republican Party is not going to help us. Turning to the Democratic Party is not going to help us. For our nation to get well, because we are spiritually sick, we've got to turn to God. We've got to turn to God. We've got to pray. The rift is too great. The problem is too severe. The gap too wide between where we are and where we need to be. I'm not the only guy believing that. I see Franklin Graham, Billy Graham. I mean, all those guys are writing this same thing. It's out there for you to see. So this is not just my opinion. I think this is the opinion of spiritual leaders across our nation. We have gone too far to be fixed politically. Our hope has to be God. The people of America must pray. The church must pray. Because it doesn't say general population. Pagans aren't going to pray. If my people, that's the church, that's you, that's me, We ought every day to pray for our nation. Because without our prayers, we're in deep trouble. Revival only comes through prayer. We don't need a political reawakening. We need a revival. If we want our nation back, we must pray. Secondly, if we want to take our country back, we must repent. Repent. Turn from our wicked ways. That is biblical repentance. Repentance is not being sorry for the state of affairs we find ourselves in. It's like when you catch a kid and the kid's done something wrong and, oh, now he's ready to apologize because he did something wrong. Repentance is when he recognizes he did something wrong and decides, hey, I'm not going to do that again. Repentance is making a conscious choice to go another way. If we want to take our nation back, churches across America, my people, must go before God on our knees, and we must repent because we have allowed materialism to rule our hearts. More people this election and the past elections that I can remember will vote for whichever candidate they will believe will put more money in their pocket. That's a way of a majority of Americans will vote. Who's going to put more money in my pocket? Not gonna matter who is morally or ethically or spiritually in the right places. Who's going to put more money in my pocket? We become a nation that values convenience over responsibility. Now, you say, how can you say that? 97% of all abortions are primarily for convenience sake. The life of no one is at risk. It's just, rather than take responsibility, we want to go another direction. And you know what? The government has stamped their seal of approval and said, that's fine. We need to repent. If I make excuses for my sin rather than take responsibility, we can believe no great change will ever come to this nation. Joe Wright prayed before the Kansas Senate in 1996, a prayer that shook the walls. It still shakes them every time I read them. And here's what he said. As he prayed before the Senate in 1996, Joe Wright said, "We have worshipped other gods and called it multiculturalism. We have endorsed perversion and called it an alternate lifestyle. We have exploited the poor and called it the lottery. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed the unborn and called it choice. We have neglected to discipline our children and called it building self-esteem. We have abused power and called it politics. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of expression." I ask you today, is he wrong? I'm telling you, he's dead on. Search us, O God, and know our hearts. See if there be any wicked way in us. Our nation is broken because we are broken. We have embraced sin as a nation. Let me tell you, even in the walls of our churches, we have become satisfied with sin in our life rather than hating sin. We need to hate sin. How can I expect a nation to hate sin if I don't hate my own sin? We need to be like Paul, who says, man, why do I do this wickedness that I don't want to do? He hated his own sin. How can we expect our children to hate sin if we embrace it? We must turn from our wicked ways. We must pray. We must repent. And finally, thirdly, we must seek the Lord. Joshua told the nation of Israel, "Choose you this day. Tell me, who will you serve?" Because what you choose will determine your future, is what he was saying to them. I think that's true for us as well. Seeking the one true God is a choice. It's an individual choice. It's a national choice. It's also an eternal choice. The destiny is shaped by what we do. Our destiny as a nation is shaped by what we do. You know, I'm going to tell you this. I may apologize. I'm not going to apologize, I guess, if I'm insensitive to the Islamic religion, if I'm insensitive to Mormons, if I'm insensitive to Jehovah's Witnesses. You know, their end is death. I'm not going to back off of that. As Christians, we need to seek the one true God. We need to be passionate about our faith. For our country to have to get back to its roots, we need a nation that's set apart by God on the foundation of Jesus Christ. The people who built this nation believe that. I still believe that today. No one stole the United States value system away. We gave it away. We gave it away. We gave it away in our churches. We gave it away in our own hearts when we chose to embrace sin rather than to embrace God. When we became passionate about sin rather than passionate about Christ, we gave away the values that we treasure. And I want that back. I want our country back. And it's going to start with you and you and you and you and me and them. Hating sin and embracing Christ. That is our hope. It's our hope for revival. It goes way beyond this election. It's our hope for the destiny of our nation and our children and our grandchildren. What are you passionate about this morning? Are you passionate about Christ? Do you love the Lord more than you love the sin in your life? We all battle sin. I battle sin. You battle sin. The way that sin is conquered is you love Jesus more. And until we as a nation love Jesus more, and we love our sin, we're in trouble. Christians need to take a stand. To be passionate about what we believe, unashamed. I mean, we talked about that several months back. There are stores I don't shop at anymore because of the stance they've taken. And let me tell you, they can do without my money. I can do without them just fine. We as Christians need to have that kind of mindset. If you want to promote paganism, you promote it, but you'll do it without me. And we need to take a stand on some issues. This morning, pray that you're passionate about Jesus. If you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior, today commit yourself completely to Him. You know what? Not only does this nation depend on that, your family depends on that. The church, we are simply a microcosm of society. We need more people passionate about Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord, we desperately need you. I think almost every one of us here today would say we want back many of the things that we've lost along the way. Our forefathers, when they wrote the Constitution, when they wrote the Declaration of Independence, they wrote it with a mindset that you were the one that had set them free, that you were the one that had given them the freedoms that we still enjoy today. But God, we realize those freedoms are in jeopardy. They seem like they're being taken away more and more every day. Lord, honestly, we probably deserve what we got. We deserve what we're getting. Lord, we pray that you would humble us. We come, Lord, I come this morning. Sorry for the sin in my life, and sorry for how sin has broken this nation. Lord, we desire you, and we be passionate about what we believe and who we believe in. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we need you. Pray if there's anyone here this morning who needs you as their Savior, they might make a commitment of their life this morning. If there are others that need to repent, Lord, that the altar is open, we might be broken before you. Or we want back what you've given us with the freedom of a nation and as an individual, Lord, that sin does no longer bond us. I pray this in Jesus' name.